Last summer, Christian, our two boys, and I drove from New Jersey to Columbus, Ohio, for General Assembly, our denomination's annual business meeting. It was a long trip with two kids under five, filled with many stops to get snacks, go to the bathroom, and just preserve our sanity. But the stop we made at Grand View Cemetery in Johnstown, Pennsylvania, was just for me. Because among the beautiful trees and the beautiful sculptures and nearly 60,000 graves there lie the remains of my mother's parents and grandparents. My mother's side of the family had immigrated at the turn of the century from Hungary and Slovakia to Johnstown, Pennsylvania. And like thousands of other immigrants, they lived hard lives mining coal. And the generation starting with my mother's parents moved away from Johnstown the first chance they could get, looking for a better way of making a living. I never knew my mother's grandparents or her mother. Both died decades before I was born. But I feel as if I've known them all my life. My mother would tell me about her grandfather, Frank, every time she would make potato pancakes for breakfast, remembering that he made his with bacon fat instead of the vegetable oil that she used. And growing up, every Christmas, we'd bake Christmas cookies with the same recipes and some of the same cookie cutters that my mother's mother used. And now I bake those same cookies with my sons, and every time I can feel what I can only describe as my grandmother's presence with us. It is these memories, and memories of memories, that root me in my family tree, in my sense of family heritage and connection and accumulated wisdom. The past, even pieces of it we've never experienced firsthand, shapes us. It shapes how we understand ourselves. If we've experienced something intensely wonderful or intensely traumatizing, it can feel like our lives have been defined by a single moment. Valedictorians, child prodigies, Olympians, all sorts of people who have accomplished great things through a combination of innate talent, privilege, and hard work often find it challenging to understand themselves when they are no longer in school, when they've grown from children to adults, or no longer compete at the Olympic level. Maybe you've had a similar sort of pinnacle phase or moment in your life. Maybe you look upon that phase with joy, grateful for the ways that the experience enhances your life today. It's good to have such friendly ghosts. But for some of us, when we remember those pinnacle moments, we don't always feel good, do we? Maybe those wonderful things that happened in our lives still haunt us, remind us of what we no longer have, who we no longer are. Lots of people are haunted by their younger selves. Whether by violence or poverty, loss or betrayal, moments of suffering can impact the courses of our lives just as powerfully as the wonderful moments can. I remember as a teenager, right after my grandfather committed suicide, feeling the most uncontrollable grief, wondering if anything would ever feel normal again. I wondered if I would ever laugh again, if I would ever, in the rest of my entire life, get through a day without thinking about this horrible thing that had happened, this huge loss I and my family had experienced. This haunted me for a long while, and it took conscious, intentional work to get through the layers of my grief and finally lay down the burden I had been carrying about his death. It took a long time, and it took the support of my parents and my minister for me to finally realize that though his death had been a defining moment in my life, though it was something completely out of my control that had happened, it was my choice whether I was going to let it define the rest of my life. Now, don't get me wrong. There are times when it is right to be angry, seasons in our lives when it is healthy to mourn, healthy to feel outrage and disappointment and even nostalgia. This is emotional truth-telling. It can be very liberating. Anger about being treated unfairly, about oppression, about being objectified, can serve us in positive ways when it gives us the courage and energy to work for justice. Grieving in our own ways and our own time is healthy because it helps us along our transition between life with the person we cared about and life after they have gone. But holding on to anger or grief or fear merely out of habit is not emotional honesty, but emotional deception. For eventually, emotional burdens cease to serve our health and instead feed the lie that we are wholly defined by whatever has happened to us or whatever things we did or didn't do. These intense moments, these defining experiences of anger and disappointment, of feeling like we may be past our prime, these ghosts from days past may have defined our lives up to this day, this hour, up to this very moment, but we all have the power to decide whether we want them to define the rest of our days. Mark Twain once wrote, "Anger is an acid that can do more harm to the vessel in which it is stored than to anything on which it is poured." And I think something similar can be said of resentment or fear, disappointment or woundedness. Years, even decades after an intense emotional experience, if it is still haunting us, it can keep us from living the life we could be living. The last few months, particularly the rhetoric leading up to November's election, have made me think an awful lot about the past. So many people in our country seem to be talking about wanting to make America great again. But all I wonder when I hear those words is which part of our national past was so great that we would really want to return to all of it. I'm a child of the 80s, but all of my life I've heard people point to the 50s and 60s as the golden years, a time of economic prosperity and rising home ownership and friendly neighbors with white picket fences and churches with pews overflowing with people. That sounds good. And yet, alongside of the positive parts of that era were an awful lot of things I would not want to bring back. Things that my faith-shaped vision for our world simply does not include. Our free faith simply does not square with racial segregation or gender inequality or the objectification of women or anyone else. Ours is a tradition that calls us to live into a vision of a fair, multicultural world community that works for everyone. As great as the past may have been, as we sing together in one of our historic hymns, ours is a faith that urges us to revere the past but trust the dawning future more. It is an honor to be co-minister of a congregation with such deep roots, with such rich history. We're enjoying hearing your stories, Christian and I, about what this congregation was like in years past, how treasured traditions came into being. Just this week, we're going to be meeting with the worship associates and Brian and Marin and other staff to talk about those candle racks. Don't worry, they'll be back. I don't want to give anyone a heart attack. Just after the early service, Lynn Cahoon actually told me the story of how the nun's closet got its name, and I'm looking forward to hearing lots of other stories about the congregation. But just like individuals and families and just like countries, church communities have their ghosts too, friendly and otherwise. And this is part of why Christian and I hope you will join us next Saturday morning for the ministry startup workshop, led by Jennifer Kwong, who is a member of the UUA Congregational Life staff. While Christian and I are already getting to know lots of you personally and becoming familiar with the opportunities and challenges ahead of all of us, this workshop will help those who participate to identify what the guiding values and stories and pieces of history and even the ghosts that haunt our community. And Jonifer will also lead us in clarifying our role with and among you as co-ministers, and we'll set some initial goals for this first phase of our ministry together. As newcomers to UUCB, Christian and I will likely bump into a lot of the ghosts from days past. Sometimes this means we will need to ask questions, the answers to which may seem really obvious to you. Other times you may want to ask us questions about our experience of this community as newcomers. Ultimately, we think our newness here is a great opportunity for all of you and for us to continue to identify this congregation's ghosts and to choose which are helpful heritage and which we may need to let go as we move into the future. Because as we were reminded in our responsive reading this morning, it is up to us to build memories in our children, our congregations, our communities, and our country. It is up to us to prune ourselves and our communities of unhealthy habits and behaviors, attitudes and feelings that serve outdated values. And it is up to us to hand our heritage to the next generation, to root them in accumulated wisdom, and to transmit the passwords to unlock the deeper meanings of life. Amen. Amen.